introduction for me. An encouragement.
Father, we thank you for Suzanne. Thank you for her willingness to share with us this morning. Father, as you anoint her, may your words come forth from her this morning. Holy Spirit, just fill her afresh. Not too much, we want her to speak.
I don't mind.
Thank you, Jesus. And Father, we just pray for each of us that you would open our ears, that we could hear your voice this morning, we hear your words and your heart for us. We just bless you then with a fresh filling of Holy Spirit right now. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, wow, it's lovely to see you all. We're doing a series, aren't we, on the Sermon on the Mount? I hope you knew that. I was going to pick out one of the Beatitudes, but I have ended up kind of doing an overview of the Beatitudes. So there's so much in it, isn't there? Could just pick out one and talk about that for the whole time. So hopefully we're going to chew on it a little bit and think about it and hopefully be impacted by it. Just as a little aside, before I get into that, I just wanted to mention, I don't know if you're aware, it was National Friendship Day yesterday. So I heard a really good talk at a conference in Oxford about loneliness and friendship and how obviously we all need friends, whether you're married, single. So I'm going to try and celebrate Friendship Day now more often, because it's quite hard if you haven't got a relationship. You know, you can't do Valentine's, this, that, but actually you can do Friendship Day. So I just wanted to mention it because I'm going to, you know, start a campaign. But in all seriousness, there's many, many lonely people. And they were quoting a lot of facts and figures. I think it said 3 million people in the UK would say they felt very lonely. This can be young or old. The typical age is 16 to 30, I think they said. So, you know, you think it's maybe older people, but it can affect all people. So all the things we're doing with outreach obviously will have a big impact for some people, because there is a lot of isolation around. So anyway, that was aside, because it was yesterday. The Beatitudes. Akin's been giving a good overview of the way the Sermon on the Mount, you know, fits in with a whole biblical view, which is great. I'm just coming down to the Beatitudes, which I've heard people say are the beautiful attitudes. So I feel, as I've been looking at them, that they are, in a way, some of God's family values. And I'll show you some now as I'm talking about. I've written them out. Hopefully this will help. So in some ways, very upside down, aren't they, to what maybe the world would think were values to live by. But God's saying we will be blessed if we live this way. So it's something worthwhile, isn't it? What does blessed mean? Does anyone have a good definition? Sorry, I do like audience participation, so... Right? Good one. Yeah. It's not just happy in a way, it's more than that. Any other thoughts? Yeah, yeah. And actually some of these don't happen at good times of life, do they? But God's still saying you will be blessed. So it's not necessarily a happy event. It might be a difficult one. But God's saying if we can have the right kind of attitude and response, we can be blessed. We can be happy, we can feel well being. It's almost
I think that's somewhat actual well being rather than just feeling. You're not feeling, but you're actually in your bed, you're actually well.
Yes, yes. Yeah, might not be bouncing around, but we are well. It is well with my soul. Yeah. In the Oxford Dictionary, it says it means holy or protected by God. So I guess it's saying it's something very special. In the Vines Dictionary, Bible Dictionary, it says large, lengthy. I guess that just means something of significance. In the Beatitudes especially, it says, the Lord indicates not only the characters that are blessed, but the nature of that which is the highest good. It's the kind of the best thing, isn't it, we could have. So it's a good thing to pursue. So I've just written them out here. I mean, I've got a couple of different versions of the Bible, and you get different bits of meaning from different versions. But I guess this is one we're familiar with from the NIV. But I've just listed them here. You're all familiar, I'm sure. Poor in spirit, those who mourn, the meek, hungering, thirsting for righteousness, merciful, pure in heart, peacemakers, when you're persecuted due to your righteousness. And I just had this sudden little revelation. It's almost like, well, then look at the benefits on the other side. The kingdom of heaven is yours. It's almost like this is a key to get that. So if you mourn, healthily mourn, it's okay. You will be comforted. If you're meek, you will inherit the earth. Hunger and thirst, you will be filled. Merciful, be merciful, you will receive mercy. You will, pure in heart, you will see God. Peacemakers, you will be called, this is powerful, isn't it? Peacemakers, you will be called sons of God. It's obviously something he is part of his identity that he wants us to have as our identity in his family values. And when you're persecuted, insulted, falsely, people saying evil against you, due to your righteousness, great is your reward in heaven. So maybe you might have to wait for heaven for that one, but I'm sure some of these we can benefit on earth as well. So I just, the next one, this one is, let's just have a think about the meanings. I'm cheating really because you're helping me do my talk with. So have any other meanings that you can add? So poor in spirit, what does that mean to you? Yeah. Not spending time with God.
Yeah.
That makes you poor in spirit, is that what you mean? So you know that you need to spend that time. Yeah, yeah. You know your need of God. I guess it's similar, isn't it? Any other? I heard something that said you're poor in pride. Good way of looking at it. So doing it for God. Yeah, which can be quite hard, can't it? Just want someone to say, oh, well done, did really well. But it's good perspective. And it's actually, again, opposite to the world, isn't it? It's okay to feel the need, to feel the need for God, need for strength from God, and then reflecting it all back to God. What about mourning? Yeah, you feel low, can't you? Something missing. Aware of. Loss of something could be good. Something. Yeah. Gap in your life, maybe. I think it's also described as an emotional vulnerability, so you're willing to admit those quite deep feelings, aren't they? It's quite hard to acknowledge them sometimes, and sometimes people push them down, but it's healthy. And actually, God responds to those deep feelings. So God wants us to have those kind of deep feelings. And everyone mourns in different ways, don't they? The other thing is bringing your pain to him. So we don't just stay in that place, do we? He wants us to bring it to him. It's amazing when suddenly get a revelation, you're struggling with something, you think, oh my gosh, I need to bring it to God. It does change, doesn't it? It takes a while for us to get there sometimes. We're slow to learn. Sometimes. How about meekness is a really interesting one, isn't it? Humility, humbleness. Any others? Yeah. I suppose that's a humility, isn't it? Self-sacrifice. Yeah, strength under control, isn't it? I think I've heard it described like with a horse. Strong, the horse is strong and they can be wild. But actually as they're trained, they're still strong, but there's more that control of what they can do, and they're obviously submitting to the rider. In cooperation with your rider. So strength under control. Or under submission, maybe, do you think? Submission? Submission. Bridles. Ooh. Yeah. I haven't got room. I find that quite helpful. Because there's a point, isn't there, when a horse is being trained and they finally give in. It takes a while to get there. Sometimes. With us too. Okay, I give in. Hunger and thirsting for righteousness. Any thoughts? Ooh, that's an interesting. Wow. How do you mean? Did you think that because that's righteous? That's the righteous thing to do. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any other thoughts? Say that again, sorry. Yeah. So how would I just Advocate, that's a good one. And righteousness. I mean, all of these, we need Jesus, don't we? Because we can't do it on our own, and they really reflect him as well. And righteousness is all in him as well, isn't it? It's all of him. So we're seeking and hungering for him and his righteousness and everything that means. So I guess, again, it's dying to self, isn't it? And putting on Jesus, I put that, putting on. And hungering and thirsting for it. So above all things, we can hunger and thirst for lots of things, can't we? But do we hunger and thirst for righteousness? Yeah. Thy kingdom come. Yeah, you want to see it come into the environment, into people, into world systems, governments, everywhere. Yeah. Yeah. This covers a lot of things, doesn't it? Think of Jesus and you want all of it. All of you. Showing mercy. What does that mean? Yeah, it could be, because you're like, someone might deserve something, and you're saying, no, I'm not going to fight back. What does mercy mean? Yeah, well, you don't get what you should get, do you? You should get separation, punishment, so... Mercy. I mean, they talk about care. I mean, looking after the poor, the sick, those, all that kind of thing as well, isn't it? Caring. Oh, vulnerable, I suppose. So, this is just going to be your CV. I can do this. Ta-da. How about the pure in heart? What do you think that means? Yeah.
You can call it pure desires. Your desires.
Yeah. I guess an awareness of that is half the battle, isn't it? Awareness of sin, but bringing it to God. Interesting, this is the heart though, isn't it?
It's about building your heart.
As well. Yes. But they are connected, aren't they? Yeah. So devotion. Gosh, there's a lot for this one. Devotion. Yes, yes. And when you think about pure things, pure gold, pure crystal, we do love it, don't we? We would want the pure, and that's reflection, isn't it, Jesus? Some people in the world might be uncomfortable with pure things, but that's, yes. And if you're around people who are trying to live like that, it's more challenging, isn't it? The other thing is just on a practical level, I guess, as things come up, as you said, it's just bringing it to God. I know even sometimes in worship, I'm like, oh my gosh, I need to say sorry for this. I need to. And suddenly, you feel a freedom because you've sorted that bit, got that out of the way. It's keeping your heart pure, isn't it? Yes. Yes, getting rid of the obstacles. Yeah, in your heart, where you want to be worshipping in your heart, don't you? From your heart. Yeah, peacemakers. What does that mean? Pretty obvious, I guess. Yeah. Is that easier or harder? Or? Yeah. You've got to be quite brave sometimes, haven't you? I was thinking of Jenny, who used to be in this church telling a story of getting between two lots of teenagers, and she had the choice whether to go home or go in, and she went in. And just talk to them. And I don't know if she actually achieved the peace, but one lot of teenagers, they actually think she's wonderful now and say hello to, hi, Jenny. But she's quite brave to do that. So it can be, I think you need to be quite brave, don't you? And it's, yeah. So you're restoring a relationship, really, aren't you? Or could be alliances on a restoration. Yes. Yeah. Which is quite challenging as well, isn't it? If you've got a view about something. Mediate, yeah, good word. Sometimes you have to go to a dangerous place, don't you, to try and make peace. I mean, I think, again, back to Jesus. I mean, he came to make peace with us and God, didn't he? And he got rough treatment, really rough treatment. So it's not always easy. But there again, we've got to think of the benefits. Is on the other page. Persecution, sorry.
I think peacemakers, they're so aligned to all the other attitudes
was the last thing you said? Why? Yes, it's the state with God, isn't it? It's a relationship, not just the blessing. It's actually an identity. What about persecution? Pretty obvious, I guess. Yes. They're not very, not as overt as other different in different cultures, isn't it? It's not easy, though, is it, to be in that position at all? But again, the benefits. What was that one? You have the kingdom of heaven. So again, you need courage. And again, as you said, glory to God, not to me. God gets the glory. So, yeah, there's a lot in there, isn't there? But even though they're challenging, there's a real blessing that comes through that. I'm just going to hand you out. I hope you've all got a pen. I'm going to read the Beatitudes in a couple of other translations, and I just want you to think for yourself, any recent challenges in your life, and then maybe how God might help you to see how you could respond, and also to thank God for the rewards that will come. You can do it. If you don't want to do it now, don't worry, but I just thought, let's make it personal. You don't have to hand them in either. Sorry. You all got a pen? No. Does anyone need a pen? I've only got a fountain. If that's okay. Colour? Anyone else? I'm just going to read from the Message. Put that back. So when Jesus saw his ministry drawing huge crowds, he climbed a hillside. This is just the context. To those who were apprenticed to him, the committed climbed with him. Arriving at a quiet place, he sat down and taught his climbing companions. This is what he said. You're blessed when you're at the end of your rope. With less of you, there is more of God and his rule. You're blessed when you feel you've lost what is most dear to you. Only then can you be embraced by the one most dear to you. You're blessed when you're content with just who you are. Gives another perspective on things. No more, no less. That's the moment you find yourselves the proud owners of everything that can't be bought. You're blessed when you've worked up a good appetite for God. He's food and drink in the best meal you'll ever eat. You're blessed when you care. At the moment of being careful, you find yourselves cared for. And you're blessed when you get your inside world, your mind and heart put right. Then you can see God in the outside world. And you're blessed when you can show people how to cooperate instead of compete or fight. That's when you discover who you really are and your place in God's family. And you're blessed when your commitment to God provokes persecution. The persecution drives you even deeper into God's kingdom. Not only that, count yourselves blessed every time people put you down or throw you out or speak lies about you to discredit me. What it means is that the truth is too close for comfort and they are uncomfortable. You can be glad when that happens. Give a cheer even, for they don't like it, but I do. And all heaven applauds, and know that you are in good company. My prophets and witnesses have always gotten into this kind of trouble. Adds another. Actually, I need my phone for the other one. But carry on writing if anything's come to mind. Did I? Carry on. Oh, I'm changing, aren't I? A bit more teacher-like. just finding it in the Passion, because it's quite interesting. Sorry, it's a bit longer. Sorry. Anyway, has anyone got the Passion Bible?
Yeah.
Have you? You've got the whole Marcus to the rescue. Just don't seem to know. Do you mind reading it? You don't have to, but, or I can read it. Oh, thank you. How are we doing? You're right for me to read another version. It just adds, might add another bit of revelation. So in the Passion Translation, it says, what happiness comes to you when you feel your spiritual poverty, for yours is the realm of heaven's kingdom. What delight comes to you when you wait upon the Lord, for you will find what you are looking for. What blessing comes to you when gentleness lives in you, for you will inherit the earth. How enriched you are when you crave righteousness, for you will be satisfied. How blessed you are when you demonstrate tender mercy, for tender mercy will be demonstrated to you. What bliss you experience when your heart is pure, for then your eyes will open to see more and more of God. How joyful you are when you make peace, for then you will be recognized as a true child of God. How enriched you are when persecuted for doing what is right, for then you experience the realm of heaven's kingdom. And how blessed you are when people insult and persecute you and speak all kinds of cruel lies about you because of your love for me. So leap for joy, since your reward is great. For you are being rejected the same way the prophets were before you. Wow, I expect to see you leaping. Thank you, Marcus. Yeah. And that's the point when you usually get the breakthrough, isn't it? When you say, God, help. Make that choice.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's a bit like, say, a road bridge across the gorge. You know, sometimes it's really best to make it swing fast. And if we look down, then we're terrified. Whereas if we look forward, we see the eyes of the Father there waiting.
Yeah. Yes, one of my summary points was it all starts with heart attitudes, pushing through the negative reactions and finding the best way. So it's a bit of a journey, isn't it, to get to that point. And all of these are pointing to God, as we've said, as we reflect him and his ways to the world. And I think as well many of these lead on to other sections in the Sermon on the Mount. So just... loving your enemies, not murdering, all that. Giving to the poor, treasures in heaven, do not worry, do not judge, trust in God. Enter by the narrow gate, a tree and its fruits, seeing fruits, and wise and foolish builders. So it's interesting, you look into it, you can see it, it's all, back in with saying, it's very connected, isn't it? Okay, is that? Yeah, do feel free to take those sheets home. I'll just read one final passage. This is the sacred journey, God's relentless pursuit of our affection. This is sort of what Jesus is looking for in us, in our hearts. There is spice in the church for Jesus. The saints are his special spice beds. It's obviously based on the Song of Solomon. The one who created love in us will be delighted in what he sees being produced from our lives. He comes to feed his heart on the variety of our expressions of love towards him. Jesus loves his whole church, but he will manifest himself differently to each one with varying levels of intensity. To feast with those pure in heart, this speaks of the deep pleasures that come to Jesus from partaking of the love of his bride. His heart feasts on the purity of our devotion to him. He will go from garden to garden, lampstand to lampstand, seeking those who are pure of heart. He comes to feast with believers who are sincerely devoted to purity, innocence, and bridal loyalty. When Jesus comes to us, he longs to see us united around his fellowship table, in brackets, the cross, which many of these kind of can connect with too, in the same love for each other as we have for him. And he longs to see purity within our heart as we do this. Pray this prayer today, if you want to pray along. Lord Jesus, I want to be your feast of delight, even as I feast on your love today. My life is complete and full as I live in you. Every desire of my heart is wrapped up into you. Thank you for being my dream come true. I love you, Lord Jesus, with all my heart. Amen. So, to be continued by somebody. Not sure who's coming next. So, any other comments or... thoughts? Well, thank you for participating.
Thank you.